Now let me move on down and read to you verses 4 and 5, and I'm going to read in my translation here. These are they that were not defiled or besmirched with women, for they are virgins. These are they that follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were purchased from among men to be the firstfruits unto God and unto the Lamb, and in their mouth was found no lie. They are without blemish. Now they were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. Now, what does that mean? That has always been a puzzle to me. I'll be very frank with you. Now, it can have a literal or spiritual sense, or both. And I personally think that probably both are here. I think John would have indicated which one he was emphasizing. Now, the period of the Great Tribulation is one of unparalleled suffering. And the 144,000 have been through that period. And the abnormal times demanded an abnormal state. And that was the reason. I can recall in World War I as a boy that many a young fellow went to war, and he was engaged to a girl, and he never came home. And sometime they got married right before he left, and he had a child that he never saw because he never came home. Well, that was war times, and I've heard, well, I had one woman say, I wished I had never gotten married. Well, that's her viewpoint. Well, certainly during this period, it's going to be so terrible that they'll not get married. Now, Jeremiah lived at a critical time also, at the time of the Babylonian captivity, and God forbade him to marry because of the dark days. Jeremiah wrote in Jeremiah the 16th chapter, will you listen to this, beginning with verse 1, the word of the Lord came also unto me, saying, thou shalt not take thee a wife, neither shalt thou have sons or daughters in this place. For thus said the Lord concerning the sons and concerning the daughters that are born in this place, and concerning their mothers that bear them, and concerning their fathers that begat them in this land, they shall die of grievous deaths. They shall not be lamented, neither shall they be buried, but they shall be as dung upon the face of the earth, and they shall be consumed by the sword and by famine, and their carcasses shall be meat for the fowls of heaven and for the beasts of earth. Now, our Lord pronounced a woe, you'll recall, upon those who were with child during the Great Tribulation. In Matthew 24:19, he said, woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. Now, you and I are living in a day when we're told, Paul says, that marriage is honorable, the bed undefiled. In 1 Corinthians 7, he talks about this a great deal. And God's injunction to Noah after the flood, not before, was to multiply and replenish the earth. And that is not the scripture to apply to a world today that's faced with a population explosion, and at a time when believers can see the approach of the end of the age. During the Great Tribulation, there will be an exaggerated emphasis upon sex, and obviously immorality will prevail. And it will not be a good thing to marry during the Great Tribulation. Now, the 144,000 will have kept themselves aloof from the sins of the Great Tribulation period. And considering adultery now in a spiritual sense, and I'd like to mention that also, idolatry was classified as spiritual fornication in the Old Testament. A classic example is Ezekiel 16, and there you find God's severe indictment against Israel for fornication and adultery, which was idolatry. Now the 144,000 have kept themselves from the worship of the beast and his image during the Great Tribulation. So you see that when it says here, these are they that were not defiled with women, for they are virgins, it apparently means that they kept themselves from the immorality of the Great Tribulation period, although they had not married, because of the extreme and severe times into which their lot was cast, and they did not marry, but they didn't yield to that immorality of this period. And also, and I think that both things are true, that fornication, adultery is labeled that in the Old Testament, but it means idolatry. It means worshiping idols. And so we have here both in view. We have, I think, the literal sense and the spiritual sense. And I think both of them make good sense, by the way. And now we are told that in this fourth verse, they're first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. Now that has very definite reference to the nation Israel. Paul says in Romans 11, 15 and 16, "For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruits be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches." So that these are the first fruits, and Israel is described as that, and especially this 144,000. Now they're going to, I think, occupy a unique place in the millennial kingdom. They will evidently be the vanguard with the Lamb when he returns to set up the kingdom. And we'll see that in the 19th chapter. Now, we're told in their mouth was found no lie. Why? Well, that means they did not participate in the big lie of the beast when he used lying wonders. They didn't fall for it. Remember, the Lord Jesus said that if it were possible to deceive the elect, well, they'd be deceived, but they won't be deceived. And they weren't. Now, they're without blemish. Now, why are they without blemish? Because they've been through the great tribulation, been purified? No, they're clothed with the righteousness of Christ. That's the way I'm going to heaven, friends. I'm not going to heaven because I think I'm good, because I know I'm not. And I say it again, if you knew me like I know myself, you'd shut that radio off now. But wait a minute, don't turn that knob. Because if I knew you like you know yourself, I wouldn't be talking to you. But since we both, you know, are like we are, sinners saved by the grace of God, let me continue and you continue listening.